Happy Sabbath. Before we get started, why don't we go ahead and begin with the word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day, Lord. Thank you for your many blessings. Thank you for bringing everybody here. Please be with those who are not here, Father. And for anybody that's here, this is their first time, or maybe they haven't been here in a while, I pray that they will feel a welcome, that they will feel loved, and that they will feel like this is a home for them. And Lord, before I start, I want to pray that I will decrease and that you will increase in me, Father. May you be lifted up so that all people will be drawn to you. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. All right, so this week has been, I can't explain it. It's been a kind of a weird week. And I've been thinking about this topic and this section of scripture. And it's a pretty big topic, and it's something that my heart, probably that's why it's been such a weird week, is my heart has been so invested in it. And I really, really, truly believe this with my heart, that this is something that's so important. And today I want to be as authentic and as real as possible, and I really hope that we can engage together and just feel like that we're family here. And I just really hope and pray that the Spirit will speak and that we as a body can be one, as Scripture says, as Jesus prayed for that. I don't know about you guys, like, I love Jesus, amen? Yeah. I don't know how many of you guys love Jesus, but I love Jesus. And but in addition to loving Jesus, I also love people. And I really, really love people. People are so awesome. People are so amazing. And people are so unique. Because each and every person in here, you look different, you are not the same, you have different voices, different smiles, different mannerisms, even though you might share some similarities, people are different and people are amazing. Can we just thank a good God for creating people to be amazing? Amen? And so, there's throughout history, when you look at history, you see a lot of stuff going on. And throughout history, you see one thing that is pretty evident is that it's hard to see or imagine that there was ever a time where there was actual peace in history, right? What are some examples of areas or examples of things that we don't see peace in? Can you guys want to share some stuff? Anybody? The Middle East, right? And what is the reason for that? Why is there no peace there? They hate each other, right? A majority of it is for religious reasons. So there's religious disunity, right? Anything else that we can think of? Politics. Woo, man, let's not get started there, right? Politics. There is disunity in politics, right? What is that? Families. Oh, man. Yeah. Families. There is disunity in families, right? There's gang violence, right? You have red versus blue, purple versus gold. Sounds like the Power Rangers, but you have gang violence, right? Racial disunity, blacks versus whites. You even have racial disunity in among races. I don't know if you guys, some of you might not, maybe know this, maybe not, might not, but and let's say, for example, Latino. I'm Latino, but there is racial disunity in the certain skin tone of your color. If you're not light, if you're light, people kind of hate on you because you're lighter. If you're darker, people kind of hating you because you're darker. It's crazy the disunity that we see in society and even among families, among churches, right? Even in heaven, there is disunity. Isn't that crazy? The most perfect place where God dwelt, there was even disunity in heaven, right? So remember an angel by the name of Lucifer, which means light bearer. Lucifer was the highest ranking angel in heaven. He was the most beautiful. He could sing the best. He had all the gifts and all the talents, right? Somebody that I would probably be jealous of if I'm being actually pretty honest, right? So you had Lucifer in heaven. He had everything he could have ever dreamed of or imagined, except one thing that he didn't have. He didn't have the power to create, right? He wanted the throne of God, right? He wasn't satisfied. He wasn't happy. So with that, Lucifer began to do some gossiping, right? We don't gossip here, right? No. Yeah. So Lucifer began to gossip, and he began to cause disunity among the ranks of heaven's angel, which caused one-third, is that correct? One-third of the angels to say, God, no thank you. We don't want to be with you. We're going to follow this guy, Lucifer. Right? My mind is blown. I don't know how that happens, but it happens here too, right? So when we look at throughout Earth's history, we see a lot of disunity in society and humanity, and there was even disunity in heaven. And by the way, the devil is doing everything in his power, and I think he's doing a very good job of causing disunity among his people. So now let's switch gears a little bit, all right? So even though we've seen a lot of disunity throughout Earth's history, what are some things that we have seen where there has been unity among people? Can you guys name some things? What can you? The upper room, right? Yes. Anything else? One accord. They were one accord, right? What else? Anything else in history? Yeah, great. The disciples fell. What's that? Day of Pentecost, right? What about civil rights movement? Right? Declaration of Independence, right? Martin Luther King, right? He came together and he, powerful movement because he saw stuff that was going on that wasn't right. That when he read scripture, it wasn't correlating with what scripture was telling him, right? You have Pentecost, right? Probably Pentecost is probably the most powerful movement that we have seen in Earth's history. And with the cause of Pentecost, we now have Bibles. Right, we now have Christians scattered throughout all of society, all of the world. Right, so these are movements where people were united, where people were one. But there's another movement that is going to be even greater than Pentecost. Do you guys know that? So now let's look where we are at today. All right, as a church, we must ask ourselves, are we united? Are we divided? Are we one? Now, it's important to have conversations like this in church because I feel like this is where we should be having these discussions. And if you're a little uncomfortable, that's a good thing. Uncomfort is good sometimes, right? So, the question is, are we united? Are we one as a church and as a body? So, what are some of the things that we have experienced in the past couple years where maybe it has caused disunity among our church? Does anybody want to share? It's all right. You're not going to be stoned. Don't worry about it. Right. Disunity, yeah. What's been kind of causing disunity among our churches, among believers? Women's ordination, yeah. What's that? Music, yeah, definitely. Those are actually the two I wrote down that are probably the most prevalent in our church. Women's ordination, music, beliefs, right? We're not worshiping this way on Sabbath compared to how we should be worshiping, right? So a lot of different things that are going on in our church that are causing disunity. Now, remember what I said. The devil is doing a very good job of causing disunity in the world today. Now, do you think that the devil can be also causing disunity in his church, in God's church, I should say? Yes. So, now let's look at our current situation. Most of our churches nowadays are 50 years and older, right? They're not growing younger, they're growing older. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with our older folks. We love them, so much wisdom and knowledge, and we need each and every person in here. Some of our churches and schools are actually closing down, right, if we're being really honest. And thank God we have an amazing school in Lodi Academy right down the street with amazing people, and they want to see that school thrive. They want to see kids' lives be changed. I am so happy to be a part of a church where it's connected to a school. And we also have a hospital close by, amen? But the reality in all Northern America is that not a lot of people have what we have here. It's the reality. Schools are closing, churches are closing, right? Now, look, we're not even talking about what the unchurched people say about Christians, right? So let's kind of go a little bit into that. What is the number one complaint unchurched people say about Christians? What do you guys think? Self-righteous hypocrites, right? Yeah, walk and talk, they don't agree. They can't even get along with themselves, right? So hypocrites. I don't know about you guys, but I'm a hypocrite. Sorry. Self-disclosure, self-confession, all right? I can be a hypocrite sometimes. You know why? There was an experience I had the other day. It was just 2 days ago, I think. Maybe it was yesterday. And I was turning to go on Kettleman from Mills. And I was going into, and I told Kat about this story. And when I was going into the left turn lane, the light was yellow, and I was going normal speed. And the person behind me honked at me. And I was like, what's this dude honking at me for? And so I kind of slowed down, and I let him get beside me, and I honk back at him. And I'm like, dude, like, why are you honking at me for? And he speeds up, and he gets in front of me. I'm like, oh, man. So I tell Kat, because I feel bad now. I tell Kat, I was like, Kat, I feel so bad. I was so upset that he did that, and I didn't feel like I did anything wrong, but then the person honked at me for no reason, you know? So I could be a hypocrite sometimes. I'm sorry. I'm not perfect. But that's a complaint that people have, unchurched people have about Christians, that they're hypocrites, right? They really aren't any different from people who are outside of church, right? They still have fornication issues, right? They still lie, they still cheat, they still gossip, right? Yes, we still have a little bit of racism, maybe probably a lot more, right? So it doesn't seem that the gospel that they're preaching is really changing them on the inside. And when they say they want to be my friend, they don't actually mean they want to be my friend, because when I tell them I don't want to hear about Jesus, and when they tell them I don't want to go to your church, they stop coming around me. And I've heard this before. I wasn't always Christian. I know people who are not in church, and this is what they've told me. And this breaks my heart, because I know people in church, and I know people that are amazing in church. And I'm speaking in English Oaks, and you guys are amazing here. Can I just say that? And it hurts me, because I don't want others to see God's people in that light. But if I'm being honest with myself, they're right. Sometimes, maybe not all the time, but they're right. So, my question to us is, have we ever wrestled with this before? Have you wrestled with this in your own self, in your own heart? And this is why my heart's been just turning this whole week, is because this is something that's real. And in order for us to really dig deep into this and create a change, we must be real too. But I want to let you know, I feel like I've been like taking a hammer and just beating it inside, right? But I want to let you guys know that there's hope, right? There's hope. Because whenever the gospel of Jesus Christ is present, there is hope. Amen? So, now what does Scripture say about this, right? Recently, we've been doing a series on prayer. Last week, Pastor Bob talked about the Lord's Prayer. One of my favorite parts of the Lord's Prayer is that Jesus says, Father, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, right? So what that tells me right there is that we should be living out God's kingdom now, not waiting for it to come, right? Because this is what's been happening. I've been hearing a lot of times since I've been a Christian, Jesus is coming soon. How many of you have heard that? Everybody should be raising their hand, right? Jesus is coming soon, right? But what that has conditioned us to be is that that's conditioned us to be a church that is very complacent in sitting in our pews and not doing nothing about it. Right? Because, the world's going to get worse. I just got to sit back. I just got to read my Bible. I got to pray. And I just got to worry about myself and not do anything out there, because the world's going to get better and then Jesus is going to come, right? I don't believe that. Because in Matthew it says, the gospel shall be preached, then the end shall come. Right? Jesus says in here, Father, I pray that they will be one, just as you and I are one. Then the world will what? Know that you sent me. I don't believe in just sitting back and watching the world flame out. I want to do something about it. And now more than ever, we have such a great opportunity to do that. Because now more than ever, people have never experienced such loneliness as this time now, right? People have never experienced such great, deep depression as this time now, right? There probably has never been such racial division since this time now. Because we have social media now, and everything goes everywhere in an instant, right? Jesus is coming soon. What that has conditioned us to be is to be a people waiting around for Jesus to come. But you know what Jesus is doing? He's waiting on us. Amen, girl. Amen. That's right. Some of us would think like, man, Jesus should have came by now. What's the big deal? It's not me. I go to church. I read my Bible. I pray. Jesus is waiting on us. So, getting into John 17, right? Jesus, this is one of my favorite prayers in all of Scripture. And I, when we talked about this in staff, I knew right away, God put it in my heart. I was like, man, I want to pray about John 17. Because Jesus is about to experience something that God should never have to experience. And so, if this is your first time here in church, or if you haven't been in church in a while, Jesus is a man that lived here on earth a couple thousand years ago, right? He was a part of the Jewish people. And one of his greatest proclamation was that, hey guys, I'm not only the Son of Man, but I'm the Son of God. I am God in the flesh. And that's what separates Jesus from other religious figures throughout our world, right? Is that Jesus proclaimed that he was God in the flesh. So Jesus is coming at the end of his ministry. He started his ministry when he was 30 years old, and it ended when he was 33, right? So he's finishing his ministry because he knows his time has come. And this prayer is called, scholars call it the high priestly prayer, right? And then the high priest, they had what was called the sanctuary. The high priest would go into the sanctuary, they would pray over the people, and they would ask for the forgiveness of sins and things like that, right? So Jesus, he is praying for his people before he gives his life to the world. And his prayer is so amazing. I'm going to read it one more time. I'm going to start in verse 20. It says, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, just as I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be perfect in one, and that the world will know that you sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Wow. That they may be made perfect in one. Jesus, you must be crazy. Because when I look at that, I don't know. Man, Jesus must have known something that I didn't know. All right? He says, may they be made perfect, or another word he uses, complete. May they be made complete in one. So the question that I ask to ask myself is, am I one in Christ? And if I am one in Christ, am I one with you? Am I one with each other? Am I one with people? Here's why this is so important for us to know. Because just as Jesus said that he was one with the Father, he said that we should be one with each other as well. And there's something about that when people are united, when people are one, that creates belief, right? What does that create? Belief. Okay, so when we are one as people, that creates a belief that Jesus was sent by the Father and that Jesus loves us, right? Unity creates belief. Okay? And so people aren't going to have the question anymore that, oh, does God love me or not, right? People aren't going to experience that anymore. People aren't going to have the question of, oh, like, do these people actually love me? Or do they just want me to be here in church because they want me to worship the way they worship? They want me to dress the way they dress. They want me to pray the way they pray, right? People aren't going to have that question anymore because we are one. And unity creates belief. People need to see a clear picture of who God is. Jesus already shared that picture in Scripture, but not everybody reads Scripture like us. And some of us in here, I mean, and it's okay, some of us probably don't spend as much time in Scripture as we should. You know, life is busy sometimes. I'm going to be honest, there's sometimes I have trouble opening my Bible, all right? But when we are one, people need to experience a clear picture of Jesus. And that, you know how they experience that picture? Is how we love each other, how we treat each other, right? Because it's going to be our love for God and our love for each other that makes us one. It's going to be our love for God and our love for each other that makes us one. So my question to us is, do we actually really love each other? Do we actually really love each other? And that's a question that you can wrestle with, right? Because when I think of love, I think of intentionality, right? I have to be intentional about the people I talk with, right? I have to be committed to each and every person, each and every family, just as I am committed to Jesus, just as I'm committed to my wife. And I'm not saying that everybody here should be evangelists and all that stuff, right? We each have our own gifts. We each have our own experiences. We each have our own something that we should do. And I don't believe that until my breath is gone from me, my work is not finished that God has for me. All right, so as a body of believers, we should be a family. That's how it should really feel. It's like a family. And to be honest, there are many people outside of here that don't have that. They don't have a family. And wow, what an amazing experience that if people came in church, they actually felt that this was home for them. And if that hasn't been your experience, I'm sorry. I want to apologize up front because I'm a part of that problem. We must be intentional. We must be authentic. We must be committed. And the cool thing is that when I have a relationship with Jesus, I should feel really close to other people that have relationship with Jesus too. And it's so amazing because I have really close friends. And one thing, we share, obviously, is our love for Christ. And I feel closer to my friends than I do with some of my own family. To me, that's amazing. I mean, I'm kind of sad about it because I want to be close to my family. But to me, that's just amazing how I can experience that. Right? If we are family, we are committed to each other. We are authentic with each other. We are not afraid of difficult conversations, right? One of the greatest acts of love, of unity for one another, and what makes us one is the unity found in marriage. Can I get an amen? Amen. Marriage is so awesome. And I'm married to the most amazing woman in Kat, and she's probably not listening right now, but. She's listening. But she is so amazing, and I'm so fortunate to have her as my spouse. And so to kind of illustrate this, I want to ask two people to come up, Roy and Susan. All right, so we're going to do a little activity here. Oh, thanks. All right. You guys nervous? Don't worry. It'll be painless, all right? So what I want to do is just ask them a couple of questions, right? Pretend this is like a dating for a long time kind of marriage kind of slash do you know your spouse game, all right? So first question is favorite food. What's her favorite food?
Easy. Susan's favorite food?
Yeah.
Thai food.
Thai food?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
His favorite too.
Oh, man. Match made. Is that how you guys met? Thai food?
No.
Okay, we'll get to that. Don't worry. We'll get to that.
No.
Say, okay, so here, you can skip that. Favorite color?
Susan's favorite color
yes.
is red.
Red. Okay. Red.
Yeah.
May I ask why?
I just love red. It just makes me feel alive.
Nice. Okay. What about what's
her? She did a color thingy that where they swatches and reds.
Oh.
She's a winter.
Nice, nice.
Remember those days?
That's not why I love red though.
And what's his favorite color?
Well, it depends. Now, are you talking cars or are you talking clothes?
Ooh, I didn't get that deep, but how about both?
Well, Roy loves black cars.
Oh.
Even in California, it doesn't matter. He loves black.
Nice.
Now, does he have a black car?
No.
No, but someday.
Yes, I do.
Oh, he has an El Camino that is black, but that's stored. I call it the Batmobile.
Batmobile, yeah, nice. You wish you had that, huh? All right,
Batmobile.
Okay. Did your partner ever have a nickname when they were a child? If they did, what was it?
No, don't tell them.
Butchie.
Butchie? Why would, may I ask?
He had a butch hair.
Oh, Butchie.
My dad had a butch flat top.
Yeah.
And so I had one too. So okay. I was Butchie.
Butchie.
Until I was 10.
It's going to continue on. Sorry.
Okay. Susie Q. Susie Q. Or Sue Beth.
That's way cuter than Butchie. Sorry.
No, I kind of think Butchie's kind of cute.
All right. Okay. What's your partner's least favorite house task?
Susan hates to do yard work when it's hot.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Very true. Roy really likes to clean. But one thing Roy absolutely hates to do is to cook. So if you consider that a house.
It could be a chore sometimes.
Chore. It is. It's a big chore.
Big chore.
Yeah. So yeah, that definitely counts. Yeah, yeah. Okay, cool. All right. So what is it? Now we're getting a little bit deeper now, okay? What is it that you and your partner did to get through a season of difficulty?
Well, our deepest season of hardship was going through the experience of Jessica's hospitalization when she was 3 months old. And that was huge, dark time. And the thing that got us through that was each other. We just clung to each other. And we clung for dear life onto God. And that's the only way we survived that.
Yeah.
That was tough.
Okay. You agree?
Definitely agree.
Yeah.
And then Roy's cancer experience. You know, God has carried us a lot through our married life.
Yeah. Amen.
And you guys have carried us too. Your prayers and love, definitely.
Amen. All right. Next one is, what is it that you and your partner intentionally do to keep the love flame going?
I let Susan spend money shopping.
Yeah.
In fact,
wait, she's supposed to answer. Oh, okay.
I'm distracted. What did I was going
to... You guys know we don't have a lot of money. He's a minister. We don't have that much money.
I love to go shopping with Susan.
He does. Yeah. He does like to go shopping with me.
It's very romantic.
You hold the bags, right?
I sit there and wait in outside the dressing room, and I'm on my phone or I'm doing some kind of work while she's
She dresses you very nice, by the way.
She does.
She buys you lovely clothes.
I love it. It's great.
We do things together.
Yeah.
Even shopping.
Yeah.
We like to ride bike together. We on the tandem.
Nice.
That's
water
so
ski.
Much fun. Yeah, water ski together.
Hike.
Oh, hiking. That's a romantic thing.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So this is the last and final question, okay? This is for all the marbles to see whether or not somebody's sleeping on the couch or not. Right. Who wears the pants?
Why are you holding it?
I don't want to answer it.
I think we both do. I wear pants very nicely.
Yeah.
But he does too.
Yeah.
I would agree with that.
I think
we're really partners in life. And we have over, you know, we've been married 40 years.
Yeah.
40 years. And it's just amazing how her gifts and talents and the way she's wired and the way I'm wired and my gifts and tell what I'm passionate about, we've really gotten together in unity. We know how to do life.
Yeah.
So we're really united. We're really partners.
Right.
We're a good team.
Amen. Amen. All right. Yeah. Now that you guys are sleeping on the couch, you can go back to your seats. Thank you guys so much. All right. So I love that. That's awesome. So the reason why I wanted to have that was because that doesn't happen overnight, right? It takes time. It takes intentionality. It takes commitment. It takes some self-awareness. It takes to be selfless, especially when we can be prideful, right? God demonstrated his commitment to us in sending his son Jesus. So I want to ask, are we completely committed to him? Because if we are, then we should be completely committed to each other, right? If we are completely committed to God, then we should be completely committed to each other. Now, when I look at Jesus not only was committed to his disciples, but he was committed to the broken, right? He was committed to the hurting. He was committed to the poor. He was committed to the marginalized. He was committed to the outcasts. He was committed to those who are tatted up and smell like cigarettes and smell like beer, right? He was committed to people of even the LGBT community because they are God's children as well, right? He was committed to each and every person. You know who he was committed to? Even they gave him a headache. He was even committed to the religious, right? So Jesus was committed not to just you and I, but he was committed to the whole world. And God demonstrated that through sending his son Jesus, right? Because this is what I love about scripture. This is what I love about Jesus. Jesus encounters people. And let's think about some of the encounters he had, right? As I'm about to close, let's think of some of the encounters he had, right? He had an encounter with a woman who was a prostitute who was about to get stoned. And what did Jesus do? He rescued her. He saved her, right? And let's go a little bit further, right? Jesus was walking down the road one time, and there was a crowd around him, and there was a little itty-bitty wee man named Zacchaeus, right? There's a song about that. I'm not really familiar with it. But Zacchaeus, he was hated by his community because he was a tax collector. He would steal from people. He would lie. He would cheat, right? But he heard about this guy named Jesus, and when Jesus came through town, he went a run into Jesus, and he wasn't tall enough to see Jesus, so what did he do? He climbed the tree so we could see Jesus. And what did Jesus say to this man? Zacchaeus, come down, man. I'm coming to your house, right? Oh, by the way, there's another person, right? Jesus goes across the Sea of Galilee, right? He comes to an island or a place, and there's this guy who is possessed, runs after him, and he bows down to him. And you know what the word in that, when it says that he bowed down to Jesus, you know what that word means? It means he surrendered. Not even demons in the presence of Jesus can fight against him. Right? So he had this encounter with the demoniac. Right? What would we do if a demoniac came in here? Yeah, I'd be scared. But how would we treat them? What if somebody we knew that was a liar, a thief, a cheat, steal, came into our church? Right? And finally, you have the cross, the greatest example of Jesus giving his life, saying, I am committed to each and every person in this world. Doesn't matter if you're a liar. Doesn't matter if you're a thief. Doesn't matter if you're a prostitute. I'm committed to you, and I give my life to you. That is the God that I serve. That is the Jesus that I love. That is the Jesus that I want to be like. Because you know what in Scripture Jesus is known for? He is known for being a friend of sinners, right? Jesus is known for sitting and eating with people who weren't like him. And people who weren't like him, they loved him, right? Jesus ate with sinners. That's what I want to be known for. Because you know what? What I hear a lot of times that Seventh-day Adventists are known for, and I'm not saying this is a bad thing, they're known for the Sabbath, which isn't, like I said, not a bad thing. They're known for their health ministry, right? Very, very rarely will I hear Seventh-day Adventists being known for loving Jesus. Man, those people, they just know Jesus. They are filled with the Spirit of Jesus. And I'm not saying we're not. That's not what I'm saying, all right? But I want to be more. I want to be known for more than just the Sabbath. I want to be known more than just for the health message, right? I want to be known for being a lover of sinners, for being a lover of people who are outcasts. I want to be known for being like Jesus. And I want to be known for being a body that loves each other unconditionally, right? So as we close, I want us to just think about some things. Unity creates belief. And part of us becoming one is through prayer and through service. When we pray together, there is something powerful about when we come together and when we pray. Look at Pentecost. Pentecost started because they prayed together, right? And it's so, I love Pentecost because what the disciples were praying, you know what they were praying? They were praying for themselves. They were praying out loud to each other, like, you know what, God? This is Peter. God, I denied you 3 times. I'm pretty hard-headed. I'm a hot mess, God. But you know what? I want your Spirit. I know that you can work through me. And he said that in front of the other disciples. And they're like, well, Peter, we already know that. I mean, we've seen you, you know. But he was sharing it out loud. What the disciples did at Pentecost was that they confessed to each other and they asked for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We have a prayer meeting that happens Wednesday nights, 6:30. And I'm not saying everybody has to come, but that's available for us to just come and pray. We have a young adult group, 6:30, every other Wednesday. Come to these things. We have small groups. If you don't feel comfortable with some of that, that's okay. I'm not. Start praying with people you have a connection with. Hey, once a week, let me call you. Let's pray together. How can I pray for you? How can I pray for your family? You know what? This past week, man, I really struggled. There was this guy that cut in front of me, and I honked at him. I was pretty upset. Pray for my heart, please. Right? We start to build love for each other when we pray together and when we serve together. I just want to close with this. May this be our prayer. Unity creates belief, and it is our love for each other that is going to make us one. And I love what Jesus says. I'm going to sum it up like this. Father, make us one. Father, make us one. Can that be our prayer together? If this is your prayer, I want you to please stand. And this is why this is so important. This is why my heart is so heavy, because when we become one, the world is changed. This is critical, that we must become one. Because unless we don't become one, then the world is not going to know Jesus. Like, I love Jesus. He's done so much in my life. And I want people to experience that same thing. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this day. Thank you so much for your love, for your mercy, for your grace. God, simple prayer. Make us one, Father. And it starts in here. It starts in this room. It starts in our homes. It starts with our families. It starts with our friends that maybe we are disconnected with because they did something wrong to us in the past, Lord. It starts in my heart. It must start with me, God. May I be intentional, not just about being in a relationship with you, but may I be intentional about being one with my fellow brethren and my fellow brothers and sisters. Father, make us one as you and Jesus are one. All these things I ask, in Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right, there's also a prayer time in the chapel back there, right? Correct? For those who want prayer. Two, young adults, we are going to be doing some outreach today after church. Youth and young adults, we're going to be going to give hygiene packets out to the homeless. So if you guys want to join us, we'll be meeting in the youth room, and then we'll be gone for about a little over an hour, and then we'll come back, and then we'll be on our way. So thank you all so much. Have a blessed day. Be blessed in God.